Food City makes it easy to shop your way. Just pick up your groceries curbside or have them delivered directly to your home. So whether you need weekly groceries or just a quick meal, Food City's got you covered. From their doors to yours.
We got 2 hours left here on the Eric Gaines Show. Appreciate you tuning in, dialing us up there on the Sports Monster in the Tri-Cities, right here on the Sports Animal, of course. And anywhere you're streaming us, listening, I don't care what device it is. Could be Alexa or anything.
Yeah, don't say the A word.
You don't. Everyone's stuff goes nuts. But yeah, no, it's appreciate you guys listening, however you are. What are we doing for the next 2 hours?
10 o'clock reset brought to you and served up to you every single day by Craven Wings. Two locations in Knoxville to serve you on South North Shore Drive and Chapman Highway. Burger Monday, wings, fresh, never frozen, made to order. Craven Wings, absolutely fantastic. Two locations on South North Shore and over on Chapman Highway. So the ACC came out with a different, well, potentially a new scheduling model, a three permanent opponents, and then a rotating five-game schedule against the other five ACC teams every single season. We will discuss that. Who do you want to see Tennessee play as the three permanent opponents? Will and Kane talked about that. We will kind of branch off of that. Why the hell is Will Levis getting mocked as the first quarterback taken in some NFL 2023 mock drafts? Do you know this? Why?
It's based on projection of ability, like, and it sounds like duh, but I mean, if you think that what he did last year doesn't touch his ceiling and he could be a whole lot better, then you would be excited about him. And I think everybody is. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the conference. I mean,
is he though?
He's up there. He's for sure up there.
It was, 24 touchdowns to 13 interceptions last year is not great.
No, but you know what? There's a lot of teams in this conference that if they had the ability to switch for Will Levis with their guy, they would.
Sure.
But first quarterback in the draft taken, period.
It's
first
crazy.
SEC quarterback taken. Again, people fall in love with physical tools. He's got them.
You mentioned,
what if he looks and runs and throws like he does, but he throws for 32 touchdowns and 7 interceptions this year, then it won't sound as crazy.
If it's Kenny Pickett type level, then sure.
Yeah, but that happens every year. There's guys that aren't really on the radar that end up being great, and then there's guys that unnecessarily are on the radar and they end up being average. And I don't know which one he is.
You mentioned, kind of projecting, and I will get to this later. I think that there's two quarterbacks in the SEC that if they have a boom type year and they explode this season, I think there's two quarterbacks that have a much higher ceiling. I'll throw those two out to you. I think one's kind of obvious. I think the other one should be obvious once you think about it. Not Hendon Hooker. Could be, though. Tennessee baseball win last night against, say it?
Beller suck.
Beller men.
Yeah.
Beller out of the suck. A-Sun.
You're not going to get me on that. I officially know what it's called.
Beat them once again, so we will discuss Bellarmine. That a
Everybody
little bit
knows
as well.
That.
Peaking too early. Any concerns, though? We'll discuss a little bit about that again. NBA last night, two blowouts last night. Your Celtics are playing tonight.
Uh-oh.
Game five.
Uh-oh.
Kind of a must win, maybe?
For sure is.
Okay.
For sure is.
You feel confident?
No one. It's at home. Beantown's hard.
It's in Beantown.
Beantown's hard to play, dude. I've been there when they've been great and watched games.
They split game one and game two against the Bucks in Boston earlier this series, so
it's anybody's game.
We'll see.
It's anybody's game.
We'll discuss that over-under coming up at 11 o'clock because it's a Wednesday and that's what we do, and that's the 10 o'clock reset served up to you today like it is every single day by Craven Wings. Once again, two locations in Knoxville on South North Shore Drive and over on Chapman Highway, 656-9900. Let's go to the phones and talk to Eric. Eric, good morning. What's on your mind?
Not much, man. I was calling in. Let me get my window up real quick. I called my EA. I wanted to talk to him about the Celtics. I'm a Miami Heat fan, and my projection on the year was that the Heat and the Celtics would play for the Eastern Conference.
Could happen.
And the Heat come out and showed. When they lock in on defense, I mean, it don't matter what your offense got going because they can shut it down.
I'm
thinking that the Celtics are going to get that game tonight. I think Tatum's going to go for about 35, Jaylen Brown about 28. I think it's going to be a good game.
You got to be a little nervous, right? I mean, you're a fan, right? You got to be a little nervous.
They looked good last night.
Yeah, I mean, I've been a Heat fan my whole life, since Alonzo Mourning and Tim Hardaway and that Dan Majerle. I mean, I love this team, the way they play defense. I mean, that's just the Heat way. And the Celtics have always been my number two team because my dad, he grew up watching the Celtics and Larry Bird and all of them. So I always pull for them unless they're going against the Heat. So
hey, I would love
to see my two favorite teams.
Yeah, thanks, Eric.
Thanks for the call, man. I would love nothing more for us to be playing the Heat because then that means we beat the Bucks.
I was a Heat fan
once. And
I'm
not there yet. Lots of people were.
LeBron.
Yeah, they're a fun team. LeBron.
I was a LeBron follower.
You're young. Of course you were.
To the Heat, back to the Cavs, now the Lakers. Now I just don't really care because I don't watch the NBA.
Yeah. The Heat are good, though. I'll say this.
They're good.
I would much rather play Philly than the Heat. For our team specifically,
okay.
I would rather play Philly because I think we're really good on defense too.
Both teams are full of lunatics. Yeah. I mean, Jimmy Butler can fight any one of his teammates and coaches. He might fight Pat Riley for that.
He also
matter.
Is probably going to score 30. So
he's insane,
Jimmy buckets, and he's so good on defense. That's not the Heat. The Heat looked like they did in the first two games, now they have all the momentum.
They look good. They looked really good.
All the momentum. You don't want to go down 3-2.
So naturally, Eric, the NFL draft was 2 weeks ago. The most natural thing about that is, okay, let's throw out the 2023 way too early mock drafts for next year's NFL draft. I texted you last night because I think that you're a person that I can go to in when I need something, okay? So I texted you last night and I said, I need you to explain something to me. Frankly, why in the hell is Will Levis at Kentucky, the quarterback?
I thought it was Levis. Is it Levis?
I think it's Levis.
It's Levis.
I don't care.
It's Levis.
Why is Will Levis being mocked as the first SEC quarterback taking in next year's draft? You would think there's a Heisman Trophy winner in Tuscaloosa that I would say is going to be a top three pick. There's a Heisman favorite, my Heisman winner, C.J. Stroud, up at Ohio State, that would also believe, I think, is going to go top three. Will Levis, in my mind, he's not a top two-round quarterback. So why is he getting so much love? Two separate CBS mock drafts. One has him going number five to the New York Giants. I can't wait to see Will Rest's reaction to that. One that came out the other day has him going number one overall to the Houston Texans. Why?
He's got a huge arm.
He's athletic.
He's big. He's very athletic. He is like almost like Tim Tebow that can really actually throw the ball well.
He's probably faster than Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow's more of a downhill bruiser.
But he's
bruiser.
Big. He does. He straight trucks dudes. I mean,
6'3", 232. It's
yeah,
good size.
He's a big guy. So, and he plays bigger than that. He's got a super quick release. He's got a cannon for an arm. He can run and he can throw. And there's your answer. In the current world we live in, if you can play from the pocket, which he's not bad at. I mean, I'm watching his highlights right now, some of his best stuff at Kentucky, and he...
Is it all from the Tennessee game?
No, but I'm watching. There's some... as you say that, there's a nice little bomb over the top.
Because that was his best game last year. Threw for over 300 yards, threw the ball 30-something times at halftime. He played very good that game, but I don't see it.
For 6'3", 230. So, you know, the other thing about his running style translates to the NFL really well.
How so?
Because he's a straight, most of his, now he rips it out on the zone read and runs some. He does, for sure. Every once in a while, call a naked boot or something, just tell him to keep the ball. Most of his highlights running the football are broken plays in the pocket. And that is, and then when he sticks his foot in the ground at 6'3", 235, he runs like a fullback. and he's got moves. I mean, you watch just his running highlights alone are incredibly impressive. So if you take him for that, in this league, if you're going to get a guy that's going to play and play early, it is really hard when you can't move. And if you can play when you can't move well, then you're a potential like MVP caliber, like Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow doesn't move well, even before his surgery. I mean, he can rip off some runs he did in the playoffs last year that helped him a lot. We're talking 6 to 8 yard runs. Will Levis can rip off 15, 20, 30 yarders, and he's doing it against some of the best SEC teams that they play. That's enticing. From the pocket, moving people with his eyes. Got, again, cannon for an arm. As I sit here and watch it, just his highlights. Don't look at stats and numbers, but if you just watch the – this is his ceiling last year highlights. He looks as good or better than everybody. Football's not played on a highlight film.
It's not.
And that's where he needs to make a lot of progress this year, is he needs to do some decision-making, trying to do too much, all those things. I mean, I'm watching his highlights right here, dude. He has done the jump over run, jump over somebody.
Numerous guys last year.
I'm up to like 7. I mean, the dude is a freak athlete.
So would you say that this is a projection? If he does indeed have a, no one saw Kenny Pickett bursting onto the scene like he did last year in college football. He was just taken 20th. Now, we all realize last year's quarterback, well, I guess this past draft class for quarterbacks wasn't great. I think we could imagine that. This one is a whole lot better. The Heisman Trophy winner is going to be in there. But would you say this is just based off if he does have a Kenny Pickett burst onto the scene type of year, if he booms, he could go top 10?
He could be a top 10 quarterback.
With that, though.
Okay, I'm telling you right now.
I will not allow
you. I know you think this is crazy.
I won't allow you to sit across from me right now and say that Will Levis should be a first-round quarterback. I won't allow it. I won't stand for it.
No, I'm telling you he looks like one. He looks like one. Again, you got to clean up the other stuff, but what if he does? What if he cleans up? What if he only throws 7 picks this year? Which is very common. Guys get better. What if he only throws 7 picks? What if he throws 5 more touchdowns and then does what he does with his leg? Because here's the thing. Just him throwing the football, just watching the pure catch it, pocket, pump fake, zip down the field. He has a monster arm, and he's super accurate.
This is a projection, but I'm just saying, looking at other quarterbacks in the SEC, that if they do indeed boom, two other guys that are getting some first-round love, maybe it's too early, but you just said based off of...
Sidearm, I love it.
You just said based off of potential, if he does boom, if I'm an NFL quarterback, coach, developer, GM, head coach... If these two guys boom, Anthony Richardson and Spencer Rattler, if those guys boom,
no,
I think that their ceilings are a lot higher than Will Levis.
No, you're wrong. I mean, you're just wrong.
You think so?
100%. Spencer Rattler doesn't have half the ceiling that Will Levis does. Who was the other one you mentioned?
Anthony Richardson getting some first-round love.
Not half. He throws the ball better than both of them. And when he runs... He makes like 15 to 20 yards. I mean, he's just juking dudes, jumping over dudes. I mean, he's just like Richardson is a good athlete and he can run. He's not half the runner Will Levis is. He's athletic and he can run.
Think so?
No, I don't think he's half the runner.
I think we've certainly seen more
of
Will Levis. Sure.
Hot take.
Please, don't say
it. If he balls out this year, I see a higher ceiling for him than Bryce Young.
Ainge.
The higher ceiling than Bryce Young.
About CJ Stroud?
He's up there too. Bryce Young's up there, but Bryce Young can barely move. He ran towards the end of last year. The reason that that's a problem is because he's like 6 feet tall and weighs 205 pounds. There's no translating of his running ability to the NFL. This dude weighs 235 pounds.
He's a big guy.
And he's out there looking like, he's like Big Ben. He's looks
bigger
like Big
than
Ben
Stroud
that runs it better.
I get it. Okay, so...
He would be on my list in my top 5 quarterbacks to watch for this season, and how they play will determine how all of them get drafted. It always does.
So quarterbacks taken courtesy of Todd McShay, his way too early NFL mock 2023 draft. I love this just for pure content. It's amazing. Number 1, CJ Stroud. Number 2, Bryce Young. Dropping down some more, taking six overall is Florida quarterback Anthony Richardson.
No.
Will Levis going number eight. Tyler Van Dyke from Miami. He's a very, very good quarterback that no one knows about. Going number nine. I mean, Ainge.
I'm telling you, of all those guys you just mentioned, watching their highlight film, he looks more like a first rounder than they do. I know the numbers aren't there. The numbers and the wins weren't there. But Patrick Mahomes was the quarterback on a team that went like, what, 5-6 and 6? I think they were 6-6.
Texas Tech was terrible.
I think they were 6-6. And he got drafted like
this guy did
sixth overall and is
Will Levis does not look as good as Patrick Mahomes did in college.
Patrick Mahomes did freakish stuff. He also did stupid stuff with the ball. Go back and watch him.
Well, so did Will Levis. He threw 13 picks last year.
I get it. And Mahomes was drafted sixth overall.
I don't see it.
You don't have to. If he plays good, he'll be a first rounder.
I cannot believe you're going to look at me right here today.
If he plays good, he's a first rounder.
At 10:17 on a Wednesday morning, you're going to sit here and say, Will Levis, first round quarterback.
Easy first rounder if he plays good.
Where's the show gone the last several days?
This kid's really good,
dude. We had Brian say in Tennessee was going 11-1 the other day.
No, I'm saying Kentucky's got a first round quarterback.
What are we coming to?
They do. They're going to be hard to beat.
We'll come back.
It's going to be hard to win going 11-1 if Will Levis is balling like that.
ACC scheduling model, potentially going to a 3-5 scheduling format, 3 permanent opponents, 5 rotating opponents. We saw Will and Eric talk about this morning. Who would we want to see Tennessee play those 3 games? Do we like this doing away with divisions? We will discuss that coming up next on the Eric Ainge Show alongside Chris Bernard and Eric Ainge. I'm Logan Ward right here on the Eric Ainge Show.
(865) 656-9900 if you'd like to join us here on the Eric Ainge Show. Hey!
I still have no idea what happened last segment. You completely went off the rails about Will Levis.
No, I'm telling you how the NFL looks at quarterback prospects. And they're going to be as excited about him as anybody going into the year. Listen, if your ceiling looks like a first rounder and your floor looks like a fifth rounder, then you're not getting picked in the first round.
Yeah.
You're allowed to have a bad game or some bad quarters. But if you're a first-round pick, you play pretty good every week. Unless you have physical tools, Patrick Mahomes, that people look at and just go, oh, dear God.
This guy's a freak.
Oh, dear God. We can teach him what to do. You see it all the time. And that's where Levis comes in.
Josh Allen, too.
Yeah, Josh Allen, too.
He also played at Wyoming.
But still, you watch the physical ability and you just drool. And there's too many of them that are hitting. So when you are a big athletic guy with a cannon, they drool. And they're going to drool over Will Levis.
There's also a lot of those guys that you drool over that are going to be busts. Jamarcus Russell.
Oh, you can go through it, but lately it's all that
one
matters.
One guy this year.
You're seeing big athletic guys get drafted.
Malik Willis.
That have success. Look at the guys that are getting drafted that aren't playing. Jordan Love, Trey Lance is one. Freak ability to throw the ball. Big. Athletic. First rounder. You just gave me the list. There might be 5 or 6 guys getting picked this year.
Okay, so let's just...
I would be more excited about Will Levis sitting here today if I was an NFL team and you said, I have to pick one of the SEC quarterbacks first overall. You have to. It's just, you have to.
Okay, sure.
I would pick Levis over Bryce Young. I would.
Would you really?
Do you know how good Levis would be playing at Alabama? With that running ability and the ability to throw to open guys.
I think a lot of the quarterbacks around this conference would be playing very well at Alabama.
Fair. He's doing it at Kentucky. If he went to Alabama and was a starting quarterback, they would have been better than they would have with Young. He's a super accurate passer. He's got a huge arm and he can run.
But it's not like he had great stats last year.
They were good enough with the physical tools that he has.
60% from the throwing.
That's good.
24 touchdowns, 13 picks.
Yeah, but 24 touchdowns throwing. How many do you have rushing?
He ran a pro-style offense last year. I get that.
And killed it.
He had 9 rushing touchdowns. No, excuse me. No, yeah, 9 rushing touchdowns last year.
So he really had, what, 33 touchdowns?
That's a good number. He ran a pro-style offense last year.
He's throwing to guys that are in cover, that are blanket coverage often. They're Kentucky. How many touchdowns did Bryce Young throw last year to guys that were wide open? 10?
A lot of them were 15, Jameson Williams.
15?
So. Yeah.
I'm just saying, he's short. He's an okay athlete. He's got a good arm, and he's super accurate. If you made me pick to translate to the NFL, I'm telling you I would pick Will Levis over Bryce Young.
Okay. As we've said, projection-wise, clearly, I think Bryce Young's going to be fine at the next level. A lot of people I've seen compare him to Tua. I get that's
they're short
kind of
and they can't
layup.
Run.
They played at Alabama, short
run, short and they can't
similar
run.
Style. I get that. I'm just looking at pure booming. Okay, outside of Bryce Young, one quarterback, because he's clearly going away the best quarterback in the conference this year. It's not even close. He won the Heisman Trophy last year. If you're picking one
quarterback. For college football.
For
this season.
One quarter.
In college football, I would pick Bryce Young. You're right. I would pick Bryce Young.
Oh,
if you said I got to pick one
him
to coach to play for my team,
yeah.
I would pick him even over Stroud. I would pick if I had to get one quarterback for my team this year and my team was good, I would pick Bryce Young.
In my mind, you know, him and Stroud are 1A, 1B. I don't think you can go wrong. Clearly. Now that's college. Translating to the NFL, let's take Bryce Young aside in the SEC cuz I think he's going to be a first round pick. He's probably going to go in the top 10. One quarterback to boom in this conference. Who would it be? Is it Will Levis?
It is. It's Will Levis. Now, listen, Anthony Richardson could have a lot of success this year at Florida. But his success this year, he's been erratic. And part of that's the team he played on. The coaching staff was a mess. So I'll give him, you know, you got going back and forth with a different quarterback. I'll give him all
you
those reasons.
You haven't seen a lot of it, sure.
I'm not calling him excuses. I'm calling him reasons.
I think the first round hype for him right now, Anthony Richardson, is crazy because he started –
But
you one
know
game
what?
Last year?
Guess what? He's big.
He's big.
He's athletic.
He is.
And he's got a huge arm.
So
big. He has a big arm. Like big. He doesn't have a huge arm. He's got a big arm.
Is he the guy, if he booms, could step up to be a top 10 pick quarterback-wise in this conference?
See, he would have to play out of his mind, in my opinion, to do that. Because going into the year, I would have Levis ahead. I would be watching Levis before I watched him. But that's true for everybody. I mean, if you're a starting quarterback in this conference and you're draft eligible and you just go rip it to shreds, look at Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow was nice his junior year. His first year starting at LSU, he was nice. He was a good player. He ran, he threw, he did a lot of stuff. He was tough as nails. That got his head ripped off in a bowl game, still found a way to win. Then the next year, he quarterbacks the best season in quarterback history in the history of college football. And Joe Burrow snaps its neck in half and has the best year ever.
I think he was 60% the year before.
Like 75 boomed. The next year. I mean, it was insane. He did something that no one's ever done before. He's the first overall pick, and it's for a reason. Anthony Richardson, to me, if he balls out this year,
it's not a hot
could
takes.
Work his way into it, into the conversation, but I think there's also a lot of quarterbacks that have done more to start. If I was an NFL team and Anthony Richardson played really well this year, I don't know that I would value him as my guy because I'd want to see him do it again.
It's not a hot take to say he's probably the most athletic quarterback in the country, right?
He's
just
right.
Just based off pure athleticism.
He's right up there. If he's not, he's right up there.
I would say so too.
But and he's got a bit. He's got all the stuff people get excited about. I mean, look.
It's sexy. What he does is sexy. I don't think what Will Levis does is that sexy.
Oh, but I think it translates to the NFL even more. Watch quarterback run game in the NFL. Watch Josh Allen. How often do you see Josh Allen? If it's a scramble, broken play, whoever, Josh Allen will take off running sideways and try to throw the ball down the field. That when the middle of the pocket collapses, he's gone and he's athletic enough to get away from the D end and he's outside the pocket and he's making stuff happen. If you are going through having the a Will Levis quarterback like a Josh Allen type guy, when the pocket doesn't break down in the middle, when he'll take off running right up the chute. Most quarterbacks do. Joe Burrow, that's how he got his in the playoffs. You watch these bigger athletic quarterbacks when they run, they're running pocket no. Tuck it and go a million miles an hour. And his burst and his ability, his quickness and his size will get him through the line of scrimmage. And then he's bigger than a lot of the linebackers tackling him. So they're going to tackle him, but he's going to be moving forward.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like he's not quite as like juke friendly as Cam Newton, but it's the same kind of when he sticks his foot in the ground and goes, you're getting 5, 10. Josh Allen, The dude, he rips off 50, 60 yarders. Mm-hmm. And Levis is fast enough to do stuff like that. The stop and juke and all that kind of stuff, you just end up going, it's like blap, blap, blap. You get hit by three guys while you're trying to make one miss. It doesn't work as well. I mean, he's athletic enough that he can do some juking, but he's not a Lamar Jackson run, stop, jump to the side, spin, video game juker. He's a good athlete that can make good moves in the open field, and he can break tackles. But to me, I don't care if he can break one tackle in the open field. Mm-hmm. I need him to get me 15. Just go get me 15. And if I, as a play caller, so as a play caller, I value Will Levis more for what I think his game does at the next level. He, just going to say it, with all his ability, if he plays pretty good, you'll still see him get drafted in the first round.
That's so crazy to me.
6'3", 235, probably more like 6'3", 240 now. He's got a bigger arm than everyone else in the draft.
I don't believe it.
You don't have to.
We'll see. That's the beauty of it.
Maybe we can pick him off six times and then make him a second rounder.
Here's the beauty of it, though. We have, you know, 11 months to dissect this, and a whole other college football season to dissect this.
Oh,
so
yeah. No, but he's
going to
be,
will, yeah.
He will be not only a fun player to watch, because he'll be a fun player to watch because you're going to play him, but he's just going to be a fun player to watch.
That's Eric Ainge. Alongside Eric Ainge and Chris Bernard, I'm Logan Ward. Should the SEC adopt what the ACC might do? Go to a 3+5 scheduling model and do away with divisions. We will discuss that next, right here on the Eric Ainge Show. Well, Tennessee baseball last night took down Bellarmine at home in the midweek showdown 11-5. Drew Gilbert, Trey Lipsicum, and Blake Burke all homered in the win. NBA, two blowouts last night in the playoffs. The Heat took down the 76ers 120-85. The Heat lead that series 3-2 going back to Philadelphia. And the Suns took down the Mavericks 110-80. The Suns lead that series 3-2 as the series goes back to Dallas. Major League Baseball last night, the Braves fell to the Red Sox 9-4. The Padres took down the Cubs 5-4, and the Brewers beat the Reds 5-4 as well. The Yankees walked it off over the Blue Jays 6-5, and the Angels no-hit the Rays, winning that game 12-0. Have a good morning. I'm Logan Ward.
If you want to join us.
So, Ainge, yesterday, Miami Athletics Director Dan Radakovich said at the ACC spring meetings that are taking place right now, first of all, the NCAA may soon clear the runway for conferences to do away with divisions, so there's no longer, that would mean if the SEC wants to, it's obviously up to the SEC and Greg Sankey, they could do away with the East and the West. The ACC, they would do away with the Coastal and the Atlantic. Quite frankly, I would be floored if anyone could tell me correctly what division the Clemson Tigers are in without Googling.
Atlantic.
I don't even know if that's the...
You should have looked it up if
I
you're
don't
gonna
know.
Tell me.
Well, no, because it's kind of plain into the bit here.
It's Atlantic.
Thing is, no one cares in the ACC. The SEC, I think it matters. So with this, that clears the way for the ACC to potentially institute a brand new scheduling format. That would be a 3-5 rotation. That means you would play three permanent opponents. So for Clemson, if they want to play, I don't know, Virginia, Pittsburgh, and Miami, they would play those three teams every single year. The other five games you would rotate on a year-to-year basis. That allows you to play a, you know, that would allow you to play a different team, essentially. You would play the conference, the ACC, the SEC. You would play every single team in the conference every 2 years. That happens now. It's like every 7 years in the SEC. It's crazy.
Yeah, that part of that I don't like.
Do you like that potentially doing away with divisions? If the SEC was going to do this down the line, whenever Oklahoma and Texas come into this conference? Because I don't like it. I'm kind of like you on this. I like divisions. I like the East and I like the West.
Here's the deal.
It's easy.
South Carolina is a potential thorn in the side team. South Carolina is never, under Shane Beamer, is never going to be winning the division. But he could get them good enough, especially if Rattler plays well, where they're beating teams they're not supposed to, and that could include us.
Sure.
Kentucky absolutely can beat us. Not really worried about Missouri and Vanderbilt right now. They don't seem to be in good spots.
I would say,
especially Vandy, but Missouri either. So, okay. So
we have seen Vanderbilt beat Tennessee a lot recently.
Georgia and Florida. Florida is going to be good again. They had a few years with McElwain where they were bad, but the East was worse than it's ever been. And by default, they're kind of winning it, but there's no one else that's any good. That's not going to be the case anymore. The East is going to be, Tennessee is going to be good. How good? We'll see. But they're going to be a team that Florida doesn't want to play.
Georgia looks like a every year
Georgia
contender.
Georgia is going to be a contender, and they're different than everybody else. But I guess my point is, from just a Tennessee standpoint, getting rid of divisions right now, you'll mess around and have some schedules that you look at, and you're going to go, man, I wish we still had divisions. Who'd we draw this year? And you're going to look at those five teams and you're going to go, yeah.
I wish we still played.
We got them all?
Yeah. I wish we still played South Carolina and, you know, Missouri and Vanderbilt every year.
We have to play all of those teams this year.
Right.
It's going to happen, and it'll happen to everybody, and that'll be even. It'll be even. But right now, it's even for everybody else competing for second place. And until people get, I guess I get a little bit like, meh. Could Alabama slip up if they had to play Oklahoma and Texas and Texas A&M and Georgia and some get that schedule where you're going, holy smokes. If Bama runs that table, then they deserve to be the champs.
We saw it last year. We saw them slip up to A&M, almost slipped up to Florida, almost lost to Auburn as well.
But in football, all you got to do is win. But I guess my point is I like the divisions because I like knowing – exactly who we're going to play every year. You get that one toss up rotator
this year.
But
LSU.
I like that. You know, and I also like the tradition. I mean, I like playing Florida. I like playing Georgia. I like playing Alabama. I like playing Kentucky.
So with this three permanent opponents, that is if the ACC does adopt this model. An article I'm reading says it could happen as soon as the 2023 season. So not this upcoming season, but the next season. The ACC could go to a 3-5 rotation. If the SEC was to do this, who would you want to see Tennessee's three permanent opponents do? B, because I think it could be many different ways. You have the older fans that want to play potentially Vandy every year. Play, I guess, Georgia,
nope.
Alabama.
No, I got it. There's three, and okay. There's only three. There's okay. Only one answer to this.
Throw out South Carolina, Missouri, Vanderbilt.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to do that.
Just win,
because,
baby.
Listen,
just win.
That would be fun for wins, but my heart would hurt as a Tennessee Letterman alum fan. All the boxes I check, the answer is Alabama, Florida, and Vanderbilt.
Okay, that's fair.
We're not, just because they're great, we're not trying to duck them. We want Bama. Everybody wants Bama. We're eventually going to beat them. Eventually. It'll happen eventually. And Florida is too, that's the diciest, most aggressive, most hate-filled rivalry in the that we currently have.
Is it?
Yeah, for sure. Tennessee fans hate Florida and Alabama by far more than everybody else, excluding older fans that hate Vanderbilt. But I hate Vanderbilt too. So I'm putting them on the list. But the youngster in me is what's got Florida on there, and the traditionalist SEC football history of college football guy, the third Saturday in October has to be a thing.
Here would be my three.
You don't even have to play them then. I mean, that part could go away, but
sure.
You got to play Alabama.
Here would be my three for Tennessee. Alabama, yes, definitely. Just because there's so much history there, it's an exciting matchup. It's been very lopsided, but as you said,
it's one of those that just has to happen.
Yeah, I don't think Alabama's going to win every Tennessee-Alabama game from now until the end of eternity. It's not going
to
happen.
Alabama has to draw Georgia.
Sure.
I mean, they have to draw Auburn, so they only get one game to pick.
My second one would be Kentucky, because I think now that's getting to be a fun matchup every single season. Mark Stoops has that team rolling. If you're asking me just for the next couple of years, my third opponent would be Ole Miss, because as someone who does sports talk radio for a living,
oh, no.
I want to see Tennessee play Lane Kiffin every single year.
That's terrible.
Realistically, my third one would be...
He won't be there in 3 years.
That's fair.
You'd set it up because you want to play Kiffin, they wouldn't be there. I know you're just being funny. But.
Yeah, realistically, my third one would be... I'd probably say Auburn.
Auburn?
It wouldn't be Vanderbilt. Non-Tennessee fan here, younger guy, I'm 23 years old. My friends that are, you know, less than 30 years old, they don't care about the Vanderbilt game. I get that they've been playing since, you know, the 80s. It's kind of old money. The people here love it. Nothing about that matchup is intriguing to me. It's okay. I'm going to take a nap at halftime.
Well, you got to give us one win on here. So if I'm picking Alabama and Florida.
But Kentucky's there.
Kentucky's good. I'm fine with Kentucky. I like playing Kentucky. But I think I would prefer, like, if we didn't play Vanderbilt, it would be weird to me. That's all. Like, if we didn't play Kentucky, it wouldn't be as weird. It'd be a little weird, but it wouldn't be as weird. To me, if you don't play Vanderbilt, it's just, like, football would be weird. Like, if we didn't play Alabama and we didn't play Florida and we didn't play Vanderbilt, it would be weird to me. I can rationalize everybody else, like Georgia. I can rationalize that. You know, I don't need to play the Auburn. I need to play the LSU. I mean, I could go right on down the list. Mississippi State, no way.
I didn't put Florida on there because they have four, maybe five bigger rivalries than the Tennessee rivalry, in air quotes. For Florida,
a win standpoint, maybe.
No, because I just don't think Florida fans look at Tennessee as a huge rivalry anymore. Because
I disagree with that whole.
Georgia's already there. LSU's there.
You may be competing with other teams for the division, but I don't think that's true at all. I think Florida fans love to pretend like it's not a rivalry.
Is it
because
a bigger rivalry
win
than LSU?
100%. 100%. In the last 5-10 years, probably not. But when you were a little baby in your diaper.
In the 90s.
100%. Yeah, but that doesn't go away.
Sure.
That doesn't go away.
Florida
fans still poke fun at Peyton Manning because he couldn't beat him.
Sure.
You don't do that about somebody that you don't
hate.
So does Spurrier. Yeah, there's more hatred, 1,000,000%, between Tennessee and Florida fans than there is Tennessee and LSU fans.
That's fair.
I mean, Florida and LSU. The matchup is better for Florida and LSU.
Sure.
They're better than we are. But as far as hate goes.
That's Eric Ainge. I'm Logan Ward alongside Eric Ainge and Chris Bernard. I'm Logan Ward. VFL in the NBA update. What is Grant Williams doing? Kind of previewing the Celtics game tonight against the Milwaukee Bucks. Game 5 tonight in Beantown. We will discuss that next right here on the Eric Ainge Show.
We're back. Not right now because we got to go to break, but if you want to call us later, 656-9900.
Time for the NBA, the VFL in the NBA updates brought to you every single Wednesday by Blue Water Climate Control. So, Eric, your boy.
We got one.
Grant Williams still
got one.
Going along. NBA playoffs tonight. Game 5 against the Bucks. Last game.
Huge game.
Last game, got in some foul trouble, didn't play the best. He only scored 9 points. In game 2, though, Ainge.
He went nuts.
21 points last Tuesday. He's played very good this series.
He's been the best defender on the court every second he's on the court through the entire playoffs.
We've said for weeks now, if Grant Williams can give the Celtics anywhere from 10, 12, 15 points every single night and play really good defense against the other guy's best player, Kevin Durant, Giannis, there's not a lot of teams that are going to beat the Celtics, especially if Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Al Horford, where, I mean, 30 points, you know, last game was insane. If those guys can score high 20s, maybe one of them gets 30 a night, who's beating the Celtics? I'm being serious.
Probably nobody.
But game 5 tonight, feel good? Feel bad about it? It's back in Boston, 2-2, must-win game. I'll ask you that. Must win game. I think it is. I really do.
I think it is because Giannis is a killer. And if he can get you on the ropes, I feel like he's going to win the fight. And he's an MVP. He's a finals MVP. He's an NBA champion. He's probably one of the more difficult people to defend.
He's a killer.
I mean, he's got that assassin type look to him. So if you go down 3-2, I have a feeling if you get on the ropes, I don't think Milwaukee's letting you off the ropes.
3-2 back to Milwaukee's not it's not ideal for the Celtics.
It doesn't mean it's over, but I would be very, very shocked if they were able to come back from down 3-2. They need to win the game. Because even winning this game is not a guarantee. Like, if Milwaukee wins, I feel like they're going to win the series. If we win, I feel like we still have a lot of work to do.
Really?
Yes, I do. Part of that's because I'm a fan and I'm anxious.
I think if Boston wins tonight.
Maybe all of it. Maybe all of it.
If Boston wins tonight, I say that this thing goes 7. I don't like them going back.
See, that's
back,
what I'm
you know.
Saying, though. If you go, if Boston wins, I still don't feel great. I mean, I'll feel better.
If Milwaukee wins tonight, it's done, right? It's over in 6.
I think probably. But you know what? I'm a fan, so I'm being negative right now.
That's Eric Ainge. I'm Logan Ward alongside Eric Ainge and Chris Bernard talking over-under coming up next to kick off our number 3 of the Eric Ainge Show right here on the Eric Ainge Show.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.